RCR with Paul Brennan. Reality Check Radio.
Tim Wilms beaming in from the unshackled.net in Melbourne. Hi, Tim. How are you?
I'm good, thank you, Paul. It's a bit of a come down after the buzz of the Olympics. Australia's best ever medal haul, including 18 gold medals. So there's a lot of national pride after, all of the various woke and bizarre this Olympic campaign.
Speaking of bizarre, you know what I'm going to ask you about. The breakdancing. What the hell was that?
Yes. So now our most famous Olympian, Rachel Gunn, Ray Gunn, did what more looked like a interpretive dance rather than breakdancing. Yeah. So it was slithering around like a snake and then decided to be a kangaroo at the end. So scored 0 points in her three round robin battles, which, it's surprising for somebody who has a PhD in breaking culture. Dr. Rachel Gunn. Her PhD was in deterritorializing gender in Sydney's breakdancing scene, a B-girl's experience of B-boying. So she's a lecturer now at Macquarie University in their Department of Media Communications, Creative Arts, Language and Literature. So she researches the cultural politics of breaking.
Okay.
And her most recent paper, that academic paper that she put out was The Australian Breaking Scene and the Olympic Games, the Possibilities and Politics of Sportification. And so one of the quotes is, "We argue that breaking's institutionalization via the Olympics will place breaking more firmly within this sporting nation's hegemonic settler colonial structure that relay upon racialized and gendered hierarchies."
I don't even know what that means.
It's a lot of academic buzz words.
Word salad. It's a word salad.
Yeah, it'd make Kamala Harris proud.
Yeah, all you need is the cackling laugh. So how has that gone down? I mean, good on her for giving it a go.
Well, that's what Anthony Albanese said.
Okay, well,
obviously he's not going to bag one of our Olympic athletes, despite...
But 0 points. At least you get a point for trying, you'd think.
Well, I'm not sure how it's judged. I mean, none of us have studied breakdancing to the... Well, she makes a taxpayer-funded living from it.
Okay.
The arts department of universities, they're not the commercial arm of the universities.
I'm sorry, but breakdancing doesn't seem like an Olympic sport to me, with all respect to the breakdancers.
Well, some of the other competitors, they performed what you'd call actual breakdancing. Our male breakdancer, Filipino-born Jeff Dunn, J-Attack, he at least got 2 points in his three-round robins. Yes, it's at least he got a couple of points. But certainly Ray Gunn has put the future of breakdancing in the Olympics in doubt. She was defended by our chef de mission, Adam Mears, who, of course, I mentioned, oversaw all of the COVID testing farce. Our Olympians still won medals despite being COVID positive. So she claimed that it was rooted in misogyny, the criticism. Said in 2008 she was locked in a room crying, being involved in a male-dominated sport as the only woman. Now, you look at the history of what we have had as women athletes have faced in terms of criticism, belittlement, judgment, and simple comments like they shouldn't be there.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear any of that, but I don't know if the sport the sport of breakdancing should be there. Just saying.
Although they've had that gymnastics with the ribbon where they wave it around for decades. And synchronized swimming. It's basically just dancing in water.
Yeah, I suppose that's getting to the edge of things. But that video will never go away. You know that.
Oh, it's been, I think, memed infinite amount of times. And some people have claimed that she's one of Chris Lilly's creations. I'm not sure if you Kiwis are aware of his characters over the years on Summer Heights High and Angry Boys and Lunatics, and her breakdancing has also been compared to Kath Day Knight from Kath and Kim's dancing. So, well, at least she's being memed with Australian icons of comedy, such as Chris Lilly and Jane Turner, who plays Kath on Kath and Kim.
What else has been happening? Someone was arrested, one of the kookaburras. What happened there?
Yes, so the tabloid newspapers, they had the doozy headline, Kookaburra.
Well, there's a clue.
Yeah, so Tom Craig, so he was arrested for allegedly attempting to buy cocaine from a dealer. So he received no fine, no criminal conviction, but he will lose his Olympic privileges. Now, I'm very libertarian on drugs, so I don't care what they get up to in their free time, but it's always a frenzy for our media. They were when he went to the podium to read out an apology at a press conference, they were all there with their cameras ready to beam it all around Australia. They ate it up, our sports media, even though, well, they probably get up to
just thinking that. Yep. Absolutely. Okay. Sorry, what was the repurposed kookaburra's name? Kookaburra. Yeah, okay.
Kookaburra, yes. Another tabloid Olympic headline was because Australian beef was blamed for two Chinese swimmers being banned by the World Anti-Doping Authority, WADA. And so the tabloid headline is, would you like lies with that? Because how come Chinese swimmers managed to test positive if it was caused by Australian beef? How come, given that, well, we consume Australian beef all throughout Australia, how come it's never showed up in any of our athletes' tests?
Sorry, what do they test positive for?
It was an illicit substance. I'm not, not too sure. Yes, it was blamed on Australian beef. It's like how they blamed COVID on frozen food coming of the United States.
That's right, I remember.
China, it's always someone else's fault.
Swimmers have done exceedingly well.
Yes, scored 7 of our record 18 gold medals, which was assisted by where we won gold medals at the relatively new Olympic sports such as BMX and skateboarding. But obviously the pool is where we're known to shine. And one of the biggest funder of Australian swimming, as well as rowing and beach volleyball, is mining magnate Gina Rinehart. She's often described as Australia's richest person, richest woman in the world, but she's also Australia's biggest taxpayer. She threw the winning medalists a glitzy riverboat party on the Seine, had her prized Wagyu beef flowing all the way from Australia. Obviously, it's great that we have outside investment in our athletes. So one of her main spokespeople for swimming is the only surviving 1956 Melbourne Olympian, Dawn Fraser. So she's in her late 80s now. She's sort of the nation's no-nonsense nana. She's never had time for political correctness or anything like that. It'll be sad when she passes. But, she was there to be Gina's representative poolside. She wanted to fund the Australian netballers because that sport is basically broke. But the netballers, a lot of them are, well, woke, and they'd rather go broke than wear her Hancock prospecting on their netball uniforms.
Didn't they turn down $15 million or something like that?
Yes, that was the figure. But Dan Andrews bailed them out with, well...
Oh, good old Dan.
Yeah, with
Dan to the rescue.
$25 million for Visit Victoria.
Okay.
Because obviously he wanted people to come back after he decimated the state with his COVID lockdowns. And obviously he was going to put on the 2026 Melbourne Commonwealth Games until he wasn't, and paid $380 million in compensation to the Commonwealth Games Federation.
Incredible.
But they have found a host now, the Commonwealth Games, Glasgow. They've already had it, the Games in Edinburgh, Scotland, in the 21st century. So,
yeah, okay.
Good luck to them.
Yeah. Did you say 380 million?
So not to put on the Commonwealth Games.
Epic, epic. And the beef wagyu, that wasn't what the Chinese, who got banned for, you know, failing a drug test. They didn't eat her beef, I take it, you know, the Australian beef.
Well, that's, you know, we both know that that's fake news. That is real mystic.
Fake news. Yeah. It's fake news. Okay. Any more on the sports before we move on to, well, more serious stuff? Though I guess the sport's kind of serious in a way because national pride's on the line.
Well, we've got the Paralympic Games coming up in a fortnight's time.
And that's in the same venue, isn't it?
It is. So obviously it's not over yet, and there'll be a chance for some more gold for Australia, though New Zealand didn't do too badly either.
I don't know if we're in the breakdance. Were we in the breakdance? I never looked for that. I don't think we were. I don't remember us sending a breakdancer.
Oh, well, if you did, they didn't become a national embarrassment, put it that way.
Has anyone said anything about the opening ceremony for the Paralympics? Not going to be like the last one, I hope.
We shall see. I mean, they copped a pretty significant backlash, the Paris
they sure did.
Committee. And the closing ceremony, which had the preview of the LA Games in 2028, showed what LA is most famous for, obviously Hollywood. It didn't seem like they were injecting anything woke into it yet.
And wasn't Tom Cruise, I saw a video of him jumping off the, on some kind of line, jumping off the side of the stadium.
That was very epic.
Yeah. Okay, then moving on, ASIO.
It stands for the Australian Security and Intelligence Organisation. So I brought your audience the breaking news last week that the national terror threat level had been raised by the federal government on the recommendation of ASIO from possible to probable. So
yeah,
they reduced it from probable to possible in 2022. And it's basically a performative a change. And Mike Burgess, the ASIO director, who he has the same hairstyle as your Prime Minister, Chris Luxon.
Yeah, no hairstyle.
So he's been on a media blitz on TV and radio. And he says that the biggest risk of a terrorist act, most likely source of a terror attack, is a lone wolf actor, a young male who will turn to violence with little or no warning without any planning.
Okay, well, that could be anyone.
And he also mentioned that there's been the rise in extremism and conspiracy theories and people going down the online rabbit hole since COVID. So,
not kidding.
He's conceding that this is, without explicitly saying, that the government has created this new conspiratorial class.
Yep, absolutely right.
And it's also another term used, anti-authority. So if you don't trust the government or believe in their benevolence, Peter Dutton, the opposition leader, told Sky News that if you notice a sudden change in someone's ideology to anti-authority, extreme conspiracy theory, report them to the Australian Federal Police or ASIO.
Sounding a lot like the UK to me, Tim.
It is. And I would also add that we had one of the, well, they're termed political extreme groups, the National Socialist Network, which most famously attended the Let Women Speak event when Kelly J. Keene was speaking in Melbourne way back in March of 2023. They have tried to do their various stunts in other cities. So in Sydney on Australia Day, but they were given a ban from any sort of public gathering for the whole Australia Day weekend. And then they tried to gather in Brisbane on the weekend. They had a white power lifting event. So they do these stunts, try to be as provocative as, as possible. One of their rallies back in Melbourne a couple of years ago was Stop Immigration, Living Space for Whites, which obviously living space translates to German, Liebenrausen. So they are deliberately provocative. They all dress in the same, it's called black bloc clothing, and a lot of them wear face masks or balaclavas to cover their identity. The justification is because they'll be doxxed and lose their job. Though they were given an order where they were holding this white powerlifting event in the Gold Coast that they weren't allowed to wear face coverings. And when they tried to gather in Brisbane the next day for a march through the CBD and a banner drop, they were some of them were arrested and moved on. And one of the officers says that, "You're nothing but a disgrace. You are not welcome in this city. Your behavior is disgusting. Your views are offensive." And was pushing them and snatched Thomas Sewell, who's one of the main figures there, his phone and said, "I'll give it back if you say please." Now, obviously, there was a lot of people on social media saying, "Oh, good on the police for shutting them down." But the thing is, we are learning that there's a lot of laws already on the books that they can police in Queensland, New South Wales, and also in Victoria. There's this new offence, a gross offensive behaviour in public, which carries a term of 5 years imprisonment. It was passed after this sociopath Richard Pussy filmed dying police officers who apprehended him after he was driving his Porsche and a truck these police officers and died. So it was passed because, well, we needed a law so someone like him couldn't do that. But it's now being used to arrest and charge them when they're back in Melbourne or the jurisdiction of Victoria. Of course, most people despise National Socialists and neo-Nazis, but it is alarming that there are these laws on the books that authorities under the direction of governments can utilise to basically shut down, charge and arrest activists that they don't like.
Yeah. It's always the way, Tim.
What they're doing in the UK.
Totally.
Think before you post.
Everyone's a thug and everyone's a hooligan. And All right. What's been happening with AUKUS? We've been hearing a bit about AUKUS, you know, Pillar 2, I think, is what we're seeking to be part of.
Another announceable, and so an agreement to see secret nuclear information shared with Australia and plans progress to acquire second-hand nuclear submarines. It's basically, we could take a bet how old we're going to be when the first nuclear submarine is in operation in Australia. It's that out into the future. Though the biggest critic of AUKUS is a former Labor Prime Minister, Paul Keating, who's also very pro-CCP. Maybe he believes that it was Australian beef that caused drug test. He decided to go on the ABC 7:30 program he's in his 80s now, and he called Taiwan prime Chinese real estate. And well, the CCP, they'll bring nothing but benefit to Australia. He doesn't see them as a threat at all. He used to work for one of the Chinese-owned banks, though he said, "Oh, I'm not on their payroll anymore. Basically, I'm shilling for them for free now."
Yeah.
So another Labor CCP apologist is former New South Wales Premier Bob Carr.
Yeah, he had a bit of a spat with Winston Peters recently, so we know about him.
Yeah, so is there? I don't know if there's going to be a lawsuit.
Well, it would have happened by now, I think.
There's been no update on if Bob Irwin is going to sue Pauline Hanson over that cartoon. Pauline Hanson's Please Explain with Bluey going around Queensland and saying, well, the hospital ramping, the youth crime. Bluey was actually in the news as well. So the Royal Australian Mint has produced some limited edition Bluey dollar bucks, but we had a heist. There was $630,000, so literally dollars, stolen from the back of a truck in Sydney that were due to
back of a truck
in the public in Australia Post. We haven't had a heist like this since the bank robberies of the 60s, 70s, and 80s. So the police operation, it was literally called Operation Bandit. They arrested the Bluey dollar buck heister. And so, yes, very, very Australian news story.
So Bandit is the dad of Bluey.
Yes. And this police operation was literally called Operation Bandit.
Now, tell us about Jack Carlson, Tim. Who is Jack Carlson and why is he in the news?
I'm not sure if you've seen the viral video. So he's being put into the back of a police van and said, what's the crime? Eating a meal, a succulent Chinese meal.
I've seen it. Yeah, I've seen it.
And Democracy Manifest was his nickname. So he passed away this past week at the age of 82. And so the backstory is that he was arrested on suspicion of credit card fraud at a Chinese restaurant in Fortitude Valley in Brisbane. And the footage was captured by Seven News journalist Chris Reason, who he's been around for forever, but he was the man that captured it. Another one of his lines, Jack Carlson, was, get your hands off my penis.
Yeah, I remember that too.
So,
yeah.
It was one of their first viral videos when the YouTube exploded online, and it went through many incarnations. So I remember when people thought that the bat soup caused the COVID outbreak. What's the crime for patient zero eating a succulent Chinese meal? Also, the mushroom cook. She was photoshopped in a meme that said, what's the crime? Cooking a meal, a succulent mushroom meal.
Is there any update on that? We didn't have it down to chat about, but now that you've mentioned it, has there been, off the top of your head, has there been any update on that case? It's been a while.
Erin Patterson is still on remand at Dame Phyllis Frost Prison in Melbourne. There's plenty of room in our prisons, unlike in the UK, where they're having to release all these violent criminals, pedophiles and rapists to make way for these far-right people.
Yep. Okay, well, that's interesting. Alan Joyce. Why is Alan Joyce in the news?
Because he got his golden handshake cut by more than $9 million. So he'll only be paid $15 million for his last year leading the company. So he's only got the paltry $15 million.
What did he do wrong, Alan Joyce? Because he was an authoritarian leader, really, wasn't he?
Well, he did make the airline profitable again when he took over. He did bust, a lot of that was because he busted the Transport Workers Union. But in the recovery from COVID, there was a lot of impropriety that Qantas did under the cover of, well, a lot of companies' bad behavior was justified due to COVID, selling these zombie flights, selling tickets for flights that had been cancelled, trying to have expiry dates on COVID credits. And obviously, he did a quid pro quo with the Albanese government for the Voice, so blocking the extra Qatar Airways flights. And also one of the contributing factors to Rex going into voluntary administration was they weren't given enough slots at Sydney Airport, which again, it seems that the Albanese government is prepared to do a Qantas bidding. Remember, Alan Joyce gave Albo's son a membership of the chairman's lounge because
that's the top class, isn't it?
Yeah, which it's above the standard Qantas club. It's the biggest status symbol at the airport. So, but on the subject of Rex going into voluntary administration, the Greens, who apparently air travel is contributes to fossil fuels, climate emissions, they want Rex Airlines nationalised so that regional people can still fly. So that's interesting. And despite the federal Labor government wanting to limit the amount of petrol cars, there's the electric vehicle quota that is coming in. The desperate Queensland Labor Premier, Stephen Miles, he has proposed, if he's re-elected, which he's not going to be because he's going to lose in a landslide, not that the Liberal National Party's David Crisafulli is much better. He's a pretty mediocre a conservative, if you can call him that. He doesn't like nuclear power, has supported treaties with all of the Indigenous groups before he state voted against the Voice. But Stephen Miles has proposed, well, he's going full Venezuela, 12 government-owned petrol stations he will establish, including price caps of no more than 5 cents a day. And, well, you can set the price of petrol cheap, but as the Venezuelans would be able to tell you, just because something is set at a cheap price doesn't mean it'll be actually there.
I can see that being slightly popular, though, on the face of it anyway.
It's quite alarming that, well, we've got a major party leader proposing what is a full socialist policy.
Yeah, no, I hear you. All right, we're pretty well coming up against time. Of interest to our audience would be Women Speaking in Melbourne, again, another event. When's that?
So it's this Saturday. It's called Women Will Speak, which I like the name because Let Women Speak, which is obviously Kelly Jo Keane's events. It's sort of asking for permission. So Women Will Speak. So it's the Women's Action Group. They've already done two so far this year. The first one, Transtifa, as I call them, they were at their most bizarre. It's, well, the counter protest is organised by Queer Nam, which is the Aboriginal name for Melbourne Collective. It's some sort of socialist group like that, and some of the other socialist groups. They're not just supporting the pro-Palestine protests, but also there's a whole bunch of various migrant groups and refugees on temporary protection visas protesting outside the Department of Home Affairs in Melbourne and outside the former Home Affairs Minister's Office, Claire O'Neill, in Melbourne. They held a solidarity night led by the Support Network of International Students with the Centre for Migrant Workers Concern, the Foundation for Young Australians, and some other groups. So these international students, they want more rights, and a lot of these temporary workers want permanent residency. So an Australian TikToker by the name of Ozpil, he's been trying to interview them, but Victoria Police, like the similar to the Queensland Police, moved him on, even though he's just asking them questions.
Can't have that.
Yes.
Oh, dear. Okay, Tim, great to hear from you again. Thanks for your report. We'll talk again in a week.
Thank you, Paul.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. stay in the loop, visit realitycheck.radio/email.